The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here's Dan Ruzanowski.
Welcome to Episode 6 of the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Drew Remenda has the day off, and so today we're going to take a different tack as we go over some of the series, and then we'll visit with Nick Nolenberger, the voice of the San Jose Barracuda, to talk about the end of their season in the AHL playoffs that just concluded in Loveland, Colorado. But right now, let's get right to the National Hockey League. The biggest story in the league right now has got to be Mikko Rantanen's bid to make a play for the Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know, we're only in the second round, but Rantanen with back-to-back hat tricks and before that back-to-back four-point periods is really making a great show in the Western Conference. He scored all three goals in Game 1 for Dallas in the victory on the road in Winnipeg, and now as he approaches Game 2, he's just taking everything in stride.
Sometimes it goes that way, you know, even the, you know, the third goal goes off them and goes five hole, you know, those sometimes when you're doing or when you're going through a tough stretch, you know, you feel like you could only pray for those, you know, and those never come. So it's sometimes it's up and downs in hockey, and now it's going well individually and as a team, and but it's important in the playoffs, like I've said before, you know. If you win or you have a good game, never get too high. You know, just get a reset, enjoy for 5 minutes after the game and then reset.
One thing Rantanen says is that goaltending is a huge factor in this series. And Jake Oettinger, in his opinion, has come through in a big way already.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. You know, I think we played good two periods and then they were pushing really hard in the third and we kind of sit back maybe too much, you know. I think we talked about trying to be aggressive, but they're obviously a really good team. They were pushing, so we were kind of on our heels, but Otter was the difference maker in third.
But Scott Arneil, the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, says that getting right back at it after a tough one-goal loss is probably the best medicine for his team.
Yeah, I mean, looking at last series, it was advantageous to us because we had a bunch of injuries and we were trying to buy some time to get guys back. This time, you know, we're up and running now, so we're healthy and let's just get back at it. You know, we did our review yesterday. Now it's, you know, new day. Get after these guys tonight. Go get ourselves a win.
Josh Morrissey looks to be back in action for game number two against the Stars. Scott Arneil talked about the difference that he makes.
He's a part of, obviously, our rush. He's a part of, that offensive side. He has a skill set that, you know, when the puck's on his stick, whether it's a pass or whether him shooting it, he what he does with that shot of his, we've seen it often diving in. But the other side too, his feet and his mobility, like they have more than just one good player that's playing really well right now. They have some other really good skill players that are quick and that they can make plays. Josh and Mel have done a great job for us the last couple of years of playing against top end players, and now having him with having Sandberg and Pionk, our top four, back together, that's big. So, this time of year and against these good teams, that's what we need from them.
Meanwhile, the series between Edmonton and Vegas has taken quite a turn, with the Oilers winning the first two games on the road in Vegas against the first-place Golden Knights. As it turned out, the big guys got the victory with Leon Draisaitl picking up a pass from Connor McDavid and notching the game winner in overtime.
Crank it up the right wing to Perry, now to McDavid with room, gets in over the line, across Draisaitl!
Eastern Conference, the series between Washington and Carolina shifts to Tobacco Road, with each team picking up a victory in D.C. Now that Coach Spencer Carberry is away from home, he doesn't have that last change, and he talked about not being able to control the matchups and responding to that challenge in Game 3.
Matchups play a role significant role in the series, and it's our job to navigate it, and whether we get the last change or not, and the things that I can do to manipulate some of the matchups. But it'll be an in-game thing, and we'll see where it goes. I'm sure I have an idea of what he's looking for, having played against them in the regular season, and know what he looked for in those scenarios, having gotten to know the last couple games. Even when you're at home, you can get a feel for the types of deployment he uses in certain situations, after special teams, all that sort of stuff. So you sort of get into a rhythm of what to expect at certain moments in the game. And then you see where it goes. Sometimes you get away from a matchup because you feel like it's hasn't gone well that night, and then you go back to it the next night. Sometimes you change something in game that just isn't working in the first period, and then you want to look at something different. So it'll be we'll manage it as it goes.
The defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs shift their series to South Florida, with Toronto taking the first two games at home. Anthony Stolarz is out with an injury, but Joseph Woll has come in and played solid goal for Coach Craig Berube. And as for Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Stanley Cup champs, he sees some things in the neutral zone that need to improve for his team, with the series shifting to home ice.
Yeah, it's not starting in the neutral zone. It starts from the far end. I mean, we put pucks to the net that we couldn't get a handle on it. They got a fast team, a quick team, but it's not off transition from the neutral zone. It's off offensive zone to the other end, which is consistent with the way they play and the way they've generated offense in their last series and in this one.
But Stephen Lawrence, who played on that Stanley Cup championship club last year in Florida, now plays for Toronto. He expects the Panthers to be ready and on it for Game 3.
Yeah, this is a team that's not going to quit. They're going to have some pushback here, and they got some home ice, and they're going to try to feed off the energy that building's going to bring. So this team is, like I said, they're not just going to roll over. They're going to, you know, bring their best, and that's yet here to come. So we got to be ready for that.
Lawrence says that the Maple Leafs need to stay aggressive.
You know, we can't really sit back, and that's not the thing. We don't really want to play passive in the O zone and try to cheat back to make sure that we're back in our zone on defense. We've been doing it all year. We got to be able to play hard down in the corners, have a responsible third forward, and then if they transition, which they do very well, then we'll have guys back, and we got to make sure that our guys that are down in the corner in front of the net just track hard and make sure they beat their guys up the ice. So it's no secret. I think we've been doing a good job of that this series and limiting their chances off the rush, and it's definitely something we need to be aware of.
But one thing that's happening for the Maple Leafs is the big guys are coming up huge. William Nylander has certainly made an impression on Lawrence.
Yeah, he's just got ice in his veins. Like, it seems, I heard Chief's comments yesterday, and he's spot on with this guy. Just doesn't really feel that pressure, it seems. Like, he just goes out and he's playing these big, it's like the biggest game of his life, and he's performed. So it's great to see him deliver, and, you know, we need it, and he's playing some great hockey.
Needless to say, the Stanley Cup playoffs have been spectacular.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Time to talk a little Barracuda hockey with the voice of the San Jose Barracuda, Nick Nolenberger. The Barracuda season just ended on May the 7th with a 3-1 loss in Colorado against the Colorado Eagles. And Nick, the series is over. The season is over. What are the initial impressions on the year that the Barracuda just had?
Well, Rizzi, I think it was a huge step, not only for the Barracuda, but for the organization, because I know the goal over the last couple of years has been to get to the playoffs. And for the team to not only reach the playoffs, but also get out of a round. They swept a best of three series with Ontario, and they gave Colorado, which finished atop the Pacific Division with 94 points, they gave them all they could handle. Essentially, every game was a one-goal game, and that was without the AHL's MVP in Andrew Podorolski, who didn't play in the playoffs at all. There was a rumor he may return to the lineup if the team forced a decisive game number 5, which would have been on Sunday. But, you know, overall, disappointing anytime a season ends short of winning a championship. But this was a huge step for the coaching staff, for these young prospects, and a great opportunity for these guys to get into playoff hockey. So there's an overall feeling, I think, of pride and excitement about what's to come.
Well, certainly a really big step forward for the organization, Nick. And the other side of it, I think, is something that the team did at the very start of the year. You mentioned Podorolski. I'll add in Jimmy Schultz, the captain of the team. These are two veteran players that have a lot of Calder Cup playoff experience that were brought into the organization, paid a little extra money to come here and to be those leaders in that locker room. How much difference do you think that made for the young guys on the roster?
it's almost hard to quantify how impactful they were on this team. The way that they carry themselves just away from the rink, just the professionalism, the approach, the kindness that they treat their teammates and the staff and folks in the business side, they're just pros. And sometimes you think of veteran NHL players as those wily vets who can help lead these young players along. And you almost forget about the wily AHL veterans. It's almost a dying breed of sorts because the AHL has gotten so young. But Andrew Podorolski has been to the finals four times. He's now a three-time AHL scoring champion, which has only happened two other times in the history of the AHL, the 89-year history in which a player has led the league in scoring on three separate occasions. He's now an MVP, and to have him in the room and be able to lead by example, but also lead just by approach was massive. And then Jimmy Schultz, one of the best guys I've ever met in my career. I mean, Potsy's equally as good of a human, but the way that Jimmy was so good with his time in terms of media and so good with fans and the way that he treated his teammates. Yeah. Hard to quantify just how important these guys were to this team. And it just shows to be successful in the AHL, you really do need those veteran players that can help lead the way for all these young prospects just trying to get their feet wet in the pro game.
Well, it's not just teaching them about what to do in practice and how to deal with pressure on the ice. It's also the barbecuing skills of Andrew Podorolski to make sure these guys are fed pretty well. I understand that they had a number of those sessions that got the guys together. Not that dissimilar to what Tyler Toffoli did at the NHL level with the Sharks.
Exactly. And those are the type of things that aren't always revealed. Andrew obviously made a video and that went kind of viral in the AHL hockey world, just showing off his barbecuing skills and having guys over. But that type of stuff, I don't think always happens. We were allowed to see it because, again, he shared it. But that goes a really long way, whereas you know how teams that win, they're usually really tight. And there's usually somebody who is the ringleader in terms of bringing people together, whether it's inviting them over for dinners or inviting them to dinners on the road. That type of stuff goes a long, long way for successful teams. So it shows the type of person Andrew is in terms of wanting to host his teammates and showing off some of his cooking skills. He's not just a talented hockey player. Obviously, he's got some skills in the kitchen as well. So those are the little things that go a really long way in successful teams.
What's really unfortunate is that Podorolski got injured, because obviously he might have made a big difference in this series with the Colorado Eagles and gone beyond that and maybe gotten the Barracuda down to the promised land of the Calder Cup final later on in the playoffs. But do you think that he enjoyed his time in San Jose? Do you see a future for him with the organization?
I think Podorolski absolutely enjoyed his time. And you never know, right? Because he's bounced around in his career. He's had a lot of success. He's lived in Palm Springs the last couple of years. That's a pretty good lifestyle for a pro hockey player. And he had a lot of success. He helped the Firebirds reach the finals. But from all the things I've heard from him, from his attitude and just, again, his approach and commitment to the team, I think he really enjoyed himself. He's under contract for another year next year. So that's a great sign. And hopefully he's back and he can help lead this group again. He got NHL games. He had only played, I think, six combined games in his career prior to the season in the NHL. Got three more, not a ton. And I think he got a little bit of the short end of the stick because of the Four Nations break. He played three games leading to that and then didn't get a look after that point. But he understands his role, still has a dream of playing in the NHL, but understands when in the AHL, his job is to be productive, to score big goals, provide offense, but also be a leader for these young players as well. So, you know, without being inside of his mind, all indications were that he really enjoyed his time, loved the facility, loved the training staff, the coaching staff, and really enjoyed his teammates as well. So I think that's a great sign for the Sharks organization, because it's hard to, one, recruit players, in my mind, to San Jose if they're going to play a lot in the AHL, because it's expensive to live here. But if you're able to sell this product, sell the facilities, sell the support staff, sell the fact that there's going to be a chance to play NHL games, that's pretty enticing for a player. And plus, you get to live in one of the best places in the world. So, I believe he enjoyed himself. And again, it's so hard to quantify just how impactful he was on the organization. And I think you'll see it down the line couple of years down the line, when these guys, these young players start to impact the Sharks, they'll talk about fond memories playing alongside Andrew Podorolski and learning so much from him.
Well, it's not that different when head coach John McCarthy was still playing. He had that role for the Barracuda organization and obviously has transitioned into being an outstanding coach at the AHL level. Jimmy Schultz also doesn't score all the points, but when you don't notice him, that means he's really doing his job. And we saw that at the NHL level when he did come to the Sharks and play for the team. I think that his leadership role might also have been pretty underrated by some people.
Yeah, it was interesting at the start of the year when just kind of predicting who may wear the C for the team. In the AHL, different than the NHL, there's just not the sustained stability in terms of players on your roster year after year. Usually guys signing one-year contracts, and the case is the same with Jimmy Schultz this year. But the way he came in from day one and just had such a professional approach, and again, the way he treats people, one of the most thoughtful interviews I've really ever had during my time. You ask him a question and he took time to articulate answers and really think it through. The hockey world is great. It's a small world. All these guys, 99% of them are incredible human beings, and Jimmy Schultz no different. But just the time that he gave myself, and just the way he treats people, he's a salt of the earth guy. So that bled into the team, a professionalism, a standard that was set. Not to say it wasn't there before, but working alongside Drew throughout these playoffs, he talked about it quite a bit. Coaching only takes a team so far. Eventually, the players have to be the ones that do it. And Jimmy was just the perfect guy to pull all these guys into the fight. And when you're a young player, I think you learn a lot from some of the veterans that you're around, and that maybe shapes the way you approach the game throughout the rest of your career. So for these young players to be around a guy like Jimmy Schultz and just see the way he prepares, the way he conducts himself, and the way he treats people is going to impact their career years down the line.
Well, let's check out the final game of the campaign for the San Jose Barracuda, May the 7th in Colorado against the Colorado Eagles. As you mentioned, 94-point season for that club. They were number one in the Pacific Division. The Barracuda, I thought in each and every game that I saw in San Jose, were stride for stride with them. They played strong defense. And in the early going in this game, they got some goaltending.
And Roboy sets for the minor penalty. Up top, Rosen. One-timer. Askarov came over and makes the stop. Not sure if he got tied up in front of the net or what. Yeah, I think he must have. Rosen looks like public enemy number one.
Well, that was one chance that Askarov stopped. And here was another one that Colorado had in a shorthanded situation.
Plus, I'm old and my sight is going. Don't tell anybody.
Uh-oh, here's a shorthanded chance for Colorado. Pelliver moving in. Shoots Askarov to save.
Felliber is one of the better players on Colorado. That was a big stop. The score was nothing-nothing in both of those saves, Nick. And I want to talk about Yaroslav Askarov because he had to go through some injury troubles during the course of the season, but he was ready for the playoffs. What about his development?
Well, you have a puncher's chance in a game and in a series and in the playoffs when you have a goalie of Yaroslav Askarov's caliber. And that was one of the big question marks going into these playoffs because he had missed about a month and a half during the regular season, was up with the Sharks for a good chunk of the year as well. But they wanted to see him in, again, the high-pressure situations that are Calder Cup playoff hockey. He's played a little bit in the playoffs during his career in the American Hockey League with Milwaukee, but this was the first time in which he was the guy without a doubt. He was going to get starts no matter what his performance was, and he was just outstanding. And he gave the team a fighting chance night in and night out, and that's extremely encouraging. There's an expectation that he is going to be up in the NHL next year, I would expect, on a full-time basis. So as his contract kicks in, they really wanted him to get this final kind of seasoning before he embarks on that next challenge. And he was as good as you could have asked for throughout these playoffs. The Barracuda were very defensively structured and sound through these playoffs, but they did give up some chances. And whenever they did, it seemed like Yara was there to make a big time save. And you heard it on those two calls in the opening period. It's a game in which the Barracuda needed, and Askarov really, I think, instilled some confidence in the group early with those stops and gave his team a chance to win. And that's all you could ask for.
Sticking with the goaltending, Gabe Carrier also made a lot of progress this year. Started off in the ECHL. Obviously, when things changed, he got the opportunity to play at the AHL level. And veteran Aaron Dell also had a presence in that net this season. What about the development of Carrier, and what about the role that Dell had?
Well, Dell, I think, really had a nice impact on the entire goalie room. And that, you know, Aaron Dell, for the time he spent in the NHL, he's a great guy. He's a really, I would say, social guy. He's going to talk to anybody on the team. He just brings a good vibe to the room. So he understood his role at this point of his career, in his mid-30s, on the back nine of his career. We'll see if Aaron wants to continue to play after this year or not. But I thought he was great for the young players. The way he, again, approaches the game, his experience, it goes a long way. It's one thing to hear from your goalie coach on a day-to-day basis, Evgeny Dabokov, but I think it helps when you've got another guy in the room who has been there and done that. So Deller was great. Gabe kind of came out of nowhere, really, as a undrafted player signed to an AHL contract, 24 years of age. Didn't know really what to expect. He was playing in Vermont for his four seasons of collegiate hockey, but he came in really from the start and impressed. He got a good chunk of the season in the ECHL where he was the number one guy and he played really well. And then when he came up to the AHL and was thrust into kind of a starting role because of injuries and recalls, he ran with the opportunity. They ended up signing him to an NHL deal for the remainder of the season. So that's extremely encouraging, I think, for the organization to have that type of depth. Georgi Romanov played quite a bit this year in the AHL. I thought when he was in for the Barracuda, he looked more comfortable and confident than what we saw last year. So that's encouraging as well. So, you know, Ruzzi, you need a stable of goaltenders, especially within the pipeline as you try to develop some of these guys. And in my mind, the Sharks are in a really good spot when it comes to goalies that are young, goalies that you hope can impact the NHL soon, and a guy like Askarov, but also guys like Carrier, who hopefully continue to develop in the AHL. And if given the opportunity, I think he'll be ready in the future as he continues to get more reps.
And let's face it, the Sharks are going to continue as they go to the NHL draft to look for more players. Last year, they drafted two goaltenders that are in a variety of development at their levels, whether it's in the USHL or going to college in the case of Christian Kirsch, or also Korosteliov's development in the Russian Youth League seems to have really, really taken a step forward. So that's good news, but they'll probably draft a couple of other guys to keep people in the pipeline. And yet that's something that's going to continue to improve. Now let's talk about the defense. Luca Cagnoni was the man as far as generating offense, and he looked really solid when he came to the NHL and played for the Sharks. I don't want to make the direct comparison to Lane Hutson, but they're both smaller guys that make plays and have escapability. How did he do in the playoffs?
He was as advertised. I thought in round number one, round two, just collectively as a team, it was hard for the group to generate offense. And throughout the year, Cagnoni was a key cog to one of the best offensive teams in the league. He was dynamic on the power play, led the league in power play points, second in power play assists. He had double digit goals as a rookie, as a 20-year-old, which is incredible, from the blue line, set multiple franchise records as a defenseman this year in his first year. So yeah, he was extremely impressive. And I thought in round number one, when in those two games against Ontario, there were multiple points. The Barracuda did not score a first period goal throughout the playoffs. So it gives you an idea of how tight these games were. And when they were kind of hitting an inflection point, it was Cagnoni in both games one and two against Ontario that turned the tide and got the offense going. His ability to hold on to pucks, he has so much poise for a young player. Just, it blew my mind on multiple occasions how comfortable he was having the puck on a stick and making plays with his head up, dancing guys, using his great skating ability. He's not a burner by any means, but he's such a good skater. He can get himself out of different areas. That's how he defends, is his ability to close and use his stick. So you think with a guy as offensive as he is, there's going to be a bit of a step back defensively, but I think you probably saw it, Ruzzi, too, in the NHL. I think he does a pretty good job in his own defensive zone, despite being undersized and not being a big physically imposing player. So that's the next test of the playoffs. I thought he was very good in round number one. Barracuda, again, struggled, I thought, in round two. Cagnoni made some plays, without a doubt, but the power play kind of took a back seat a little bit after being so prolific during the regular season. And that was kind of the difference in round two, is the fact the power play couldn't quite get going. and Colorado had something clicking on their power play. So that's the way sometimes these games go. But, man, the future is bright for this young player, and I think Sharks fans should be really, really excited about what they have and a guy they took in the middle rounds as part of the potential future on the blue line up top in the NHL.
Well, case in point for everything you're talking about, first of all, if I'm not mistaken, the Barracuda outshot Colorado every game in the series, if not every game, almost every one. And then they had that opportunity on the power play in the second period in game number four where former Shark and former Cuda Jacob McDonald took a double minor, and they weren't able to cash in on that. I think probably a lot of that had to do with Trent Miner, who I thought had a really strong series for the Eagles.
Yeah, Trent Miner was outstanding. It kind of, you just didn't know what to expect. He hadn't played in the Calder Cup playoffs before. He had a great season with the Eagles, first place team. He was their 1A goaltender, but man, he was good. And it was really a goalie duel throughout. Both goalies were outstanding, but Miner was extremely, extremely impressive. I go back to game number three, series tied at 1-1. Early in the hockey game, Barracuda, again, did not score a first-period goal in all six postseason games, but they had a golden chance early. Pavel Regenda in tight, and a kick stop by Miner kept the game scoreless. Colorado goes on to score a goal within the first 2 minutes. They scored another one late in the first period. Barracuda did come back and force overtime and would lose in that game 3-2. But, yeah, Miner was outstanding, and that's what you need. Good teams this time of year, they need good goaltending. And Drew put it, I thought it was pretty good. He said, sometimes you can just call the sport goalie as opposed to hockey, because if you don't have one, you're probably not going to win games. So, yeah, Miner was extremely impressive. That's just a well-coached Colorado team. They've got a veteran D-core. They don't make a ton of mistakes, and they do capitalize if you make mistakes. And for the Barracuda, as good as they were, there was moments where puck management, I think, was an issue, and Colorado usually took advantage of it.
Lucas Carlson and Jack Thompson provided some stability on defense for the Cuda, and we already know what those guys did at the NHL level. But looking up front, the last goal scored of the season provided a little hope for what's coming.
Center, now he pulls it back free. Skates near side, up high for Thompson. He'll go D to D. Carlson holding, stuffing it towards the net. Puck loose, kicked out by Miner. Good luck there for the Cuda. Back to the net. They score! It's Igor Chernyshov, the 19-year-old, in his Calder Cup playoff debut, has given the Barracuda a 1-0 lead.
So they had the 1-0 lead. As we know, they ended up losing the game by the score of 3-1. Power play goal by Fellhaber was a killer. And then, of course, an empty netter at the end. Really, really tight game. But let's talk about Chernyshov. The interesting thing for him is he is seen as a guy that might be NHL ready next year, recovering from a shoulder injury, similar in some sense to what Shakir Muhammadulin is going through now. It's going to take him a few months. But what did he show you?
Well, he got into the one game, and that was in the season finale. And me and Drew talking going into that final game, what does this team need to tweak? Colin White was injured in game number three, upper body injury. He didn't play in the final game, so we knew a center would be drawing in, but they decided to make a change on the wing as well. Walker Duehr came out, and Igor Chernyshov came in. And you talk about being NHL ready. One of the biggest thing that sticks out, I think, when you watch him is his size. He's 6'3", he's over 200 pounds at 19 years of age. So physically, I think he could certainly handle it. I thought he skated well. I thought he made some plays beyond just that goal. He had another chance late to try to tie the score up. So for a young player drawing into the Calder Cup playoffs for the first time in his career, I thought he handled himself quite well. Didn't look like the moment was too big for him. Confident player, obviously, and I think for him to score a goal in the playoffs is only going to help his confidence going into next year. And yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he pushes for an NHL job and impresses during training camp, because he has all the skills to certainly do that. Now he's got a road here to try to accomplish it with development camp and leading into training camp with rookie camp, still a lot to showcase, but Sharks fans should be excited. He's a big, powerful skater. He's got a lot of touch around the net. Him and Haltonen are two big wings the Sharks selected in the second round over the last couple of years that hopefully down the line can be part of the solution for the Sharks as they try to get back into prominence and try to be a competitive team once again. So, yeah, very encouraged. I was very impressed by his first experience in the Calder Cup playoffs.
Any final thoughts, Nick, about the Cuda season as you look to the summer?
Well, it was wonderful, Ruzzi, to get back into the playoffs. I can't state that enough. It was a really big deal for the organization to get these players into the Calder Cup playoff. It was a great year, despite the fact the team gets eliminated in the second round. Very encouraging. Huge kudos to the coaching staff, John McCarthy, Louis Mass, Kyle Hagel, Eric Pinksy, our video coach, just did a brilliant job. So a fun group to be around, and it gets you excited about the future.
Well, we're really looking to having that bleed over to the NHL team in the future as well. And Nick, really great job this season working with Drew and putting up with all of us as we talk to you about the season. But thanks a lot for all that you do for us, and we appreciate it.
Brucey, a pleasure. You're the best. Thanks for having me on, and go Sharks, go Cuda.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.